Okay, very good. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi, good to see you. Okay, we'll start our meeting and welcome to the Village Board meeting. It's a regular scheduled meeting on April 13th at 7 o'clock. I'd ask Rosa, please take the roll call. Trustee Cascatello?
Present.
Trustee Bachner? Trustee O'Connell? Oh, no. Well, we're going to wait on that. Okay. Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
There.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
President Odusi?
Here. And if I can get a motion and a second to allow Trustee O'Connell to be present remotely or telephonically due to work.
I move to allow Trustee O'Connell to participate electronically due to employment reasons.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Take a vote. Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
And then the rest.
Oh, okay. Oh, we got to go through the whole thing. Sorry.
Voting on it.
Sorry.
Voting, yeah.
Okay. Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner? Absent. Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. If we can all stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Take a second to see citizens' comments. Thank you, Madam Village Administrator. Okay. All right, home. Welcome again. Yeah.
It's on. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. No, good evening.
Oh, yeah. Good evening. Thank you. It's been a long day dealing with veterans and benefits. So I had sent out an email about the upcoming events we having. The picnic parade. Also, we have a raffle going on with the Chicago White Sox because they donated 4 tickets to our organization to help support our cause. And also, we have an educational home buying with our partners with U.S. Bank on May 15th. So I sent those flyers out and we got more events to come. And also, I managed to talk with the liaison of the Illinois National Guard. I sent it over to Trustee Lisa. Excuse me. I'm sorry. It's been a long day. So if y'all want to request for y'all parade, that's I sent you a link and everything. So and I just wanted to bring it to y'all attention and thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Homer. Yep. We'll keep those, try to advertise those too, maybe in our newsletter if it's helpful. Okay. Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you. All right. There is no other citizens comments. So we'll do, we'll go to our public hearing first before our, right?
We'll do the presentation before the
hearing. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So let's do the presentation. Okay. This is for our 27 operating budget. And then we'll do a public hearing.
We've got a new fancy device for the slide, so bear with us if we fumble around with it a little bit here. All right, good evening, Village Board. Thanks for the opportunity to present the proposed fiscal year 2027 operating budget. Finance Director McAdams and I will be going over in detail primarily the general fund, which handles our operating expenses, as well as kind of a follow-up to our conversation from a few months ago on the capital funds, capital projects, and a couple updates from what we presented back in late January to the Village Board. So tonight we'll be going over the draft document that was shared with the Village Board. It's made available on our Village website, and also a hard copy is available at Village Hall for residents or others that want to come and view the document. So tonight we'll just be presenting, getting feedback, answering questions from the village board and the public during the public hearing. Public hearing will follow this presentation, be an opportunity for residents to ask questions or state any feedback on that that's required by state statute. And then there's no vote expected for the village board tonight. We'll bring back the document to the village board at the April 27th meeting for formal approval and adoption. So if there are any changes or anything required, we'll touch on one during our presentation tonight. We'll make those changes and highlight those for the village board at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everyone.
Good
evening.
These microphones. Okay. The village remains in a strong financial position due to the sound fiscal policies and decisions over the past several years. I want to thank the Board of Trustees for their continued support and strong leadership and acknowledge the hard work and good stewardship of the village staff. Oh, there we go. I did that. In managing our operations. So tonight, we're going to take a look at the village's current budget, or I'm sorry, the village's current budget, fiscal year 2026, has received the Distinguished GFOA Budget Award, and the fiscal year 2027 budget that you are now looking at, that we will be presenting tonight, is designed to continue to receive this prestigious award. The village board's goals and accomplishments are contained in the budget. These goals and each of the department's goals speak to the village's three guiding principles, which are to ensure that the village provides a safe and welcoming community for its residents, business owners, and institutional partners, enhances the property values through the strengthening of quality of life, and implementing strategies to stabilize property taxes. And as we go through the budget, you'll see, or as you've reviewed, each department's goals will align to that. So here, moving to a snapshot of the general fund. It is important to note that this is the main operating fund for the village, and the fiscal year 2027 budget is balanced as presented. We anticipate that revenues will increase 6.89% and reoccurring expenditures will increase 6.72% in fiscal year 2027. Some of the larger non-recurring expenditures listed will be financed from fund reserves. Mm-hmm. As a result, the general fund operating budget is balanced for 2027. Some of the non-recurring expenditures include $310,000 for a portion of the annual IRMA contribution that each year continues to increase as time goes on. Close to $130,000 with equipment funded through the general fund because it is not part of our SURF because it's a brand new purchase. And then $360,000 for pedestrian safety improvements on Lake Street that we've already gone through and discussed. So here's a snapshot of all our general fund revenues by category. The total revenues increased by 6.89% over last year's budget. Increases in license and permits, as you can see, is significant, and that's with the anticipation of building permits from the Madison Street development. And increases in taxes are from our increases that we've seen in sales and non-home rules sales tax. Mm-hmm. Here we'll take a little deeper dive into some of the main revenue sources. Our property taxes include a 1.61% increase. The annual levy increase is based on the maximum of either 5% or the annual increase in the CPI, whichever is lower. As we recall, when we presented the levy back in December, the CPI increase was 2.9. Mm-hmm. So the village board voted to increase the levy by 1.9% to ease the burden on taxpayers. The revenues that are going to be budgeted in the fiscal year 2027 will be the second half of the 2025 levy, which will reflect the levy that was approved in December. And then the second installment will be collected in February or March of 2027, and that will be 55% of the 2025 levy. So as I said, state and non-home rural tax revenues have increased due to the increase in the CPI, which was 2.7 for the last 12 months ending in December. Even though this is lower than the last 2 years, sales tax revenues are expected to continue to remain strong. Future estimates are conservative because of the uncertainty of our economy right now and future state legislation. This budget also includes the 1% local share of grocery tax. This is included in our sales tax number. As we take a look at income tax, the budget includes a 1.73% increase in our income tax, and that's based on IML, or the Illinois Municipal League's, estimates right now. Now, I'm sure maybe you're not aware, but the fiscal year 2027 state budget does have a request in it to reduce the local government share from 6.47% to 6.28%, even though they claim it won't make any changes to what the distributions are. We're going to keep an eye on that, but for right now, we have it at the 6.47%, the expected revenues. Ambulance billing is one of our other big revenue sources, and that budget, we allocate 60% to the general fund and 40% to the SIF fund to help fund future street improvement projects. If you have any questions as I'm going through, please just stop me. The fee schedule you can find in the budget, these are the few that changes that are happening in fiscal year 2027. Planned 3% increase in refuse collection fees and compost fees that was negotiated in our contract with LRS back in 2022. Those changes will be effective on May 1. Film production fees, we actually made that change this fiscal year, but the fee schedule will reflect it this year. It went from increased $200 for the base fee, and also an increase of $250 per day of production. And a new fee was added for all the, we've got, I believe, 8 new ones so far. I think 8 and more expected next year. But right now, the EV chargers, there's fast chargers and there's the regular chargers, and those fees, the charging fees just to use it have been implemented. And then the overstay fee has a maximum now of $70. Mm-hmm. Here's, I don't know how well you can see that, but this is a pie chart of showing the actual, there you go. Thanks, Jessica. The sources of revenue are split. And as you can see from the chart, sales tax, which include the sales and non-home rule sales tax, makes up over 20% of the general fund revenues. sales tax generated from the 1% grocery tax, as I said, is included in this number. And then, as you see, property tax makes up 35.9% of revenues. But of that property tax revenue, 48.8% of property tax revenues are to fund pension obligations. Here's a better view of the property tax distribution. This shows the increase in pension contributions and the slight increase in the general fund property tax levy for all other purposes over the last since 2017. The village portion of property tax received is allocated as shown above. The expectation of the police and fire pension, which we are beginning to see, is hopefully to becoming more consistent and stable with the new consolidation of the investments for both of those downstate pension funds. My other favorite slide. the village, this is a picture of a dollar bill kind of showing you the allocation of where it is, our property tax, how it is allocated. And as you can tell, approximately 88% of the average property tax bill can be attributed to other taxing bodies, such as schools, which is the largest portion, the library, forest preserves, townships, and county government. The village's portion is 12.2%, I believe. Okay. So out of our property tax bill that we pay, we are really only paying 12% to the village, a little over 12%.
And the school districts, if I may ask, that also includes D-200?
Yes.
Yeah,
right? Yes, the school districts, it's all our, and
Triton, right.
And Triton, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I forgot.
Triton. You community college.
Yes.
He knows.
They're not on my level.
So now we'll move on to expenditures after all those lovely revenues are the fun part. And now here you can see an overview of the general fund expenditures by category. And we'll get into greater depth on each of these in the next few slides. The percentage changes seem large on some of them just because they're smaller actually amounts of. So we'll take a look at personnel services. Personnel services are all basically negotiated contracts with our four unions, and all bargaining units have now active negotiating contracts. And the budget also includes a 3% adjustment for all non-union positions. There haven't been any new created positions in fiscal year 2027. And we will begin to, I think the next, the fire union contracts expire in April of 2027. So that will begin at the end of this year.
Do we mean personnel instead of personal services under the heading?
Yes, it's certain places. It's used as person, as this one, personal. And like in the budget, it's, I think, used as that in the budget piece.
So
do
we mean to say personal services or do we mean to say personnel services?
I believe we mean to say personal services.
Personal.
I mean, that's how it's always been written in the budget.
Okay. I was just hearing you say, talk about personnel. And then
I know.
And it didn't make sense to me.
Sorry. It is personal services here. And then when we refer to personnel, like the number of employees, then that's where it kind of it's.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any questions? No. And here we are on benefits. As you can see, this has increased 3.6%. Pension contributions are based on the previously approved pension funding policy and the recommended actuarial determinations. With the consolidation of these investments for both Article 3 and Article 4 pension funds, we are seeing more stability in pension contributions, and we hope to see more. The village continues to be industry trends with insurance premiums, and even with participation in IPBC, insurance premiums have been on the rise for most municipalities. Even this year, however, health insurance premiums are expected to significantly increase overall, with an increase of 17.7 for PPO, 21.3 for HMO, and 8.8% for dental premiums. The village's originally projected increases that were provided were significantly higher. And with Trish's, I just want to shout out to Trish, her diligence and working with IPBC. She went over numbers with them and worked with them to make sure that our claim history was correct in line with other communities. And it was able to negotiate our insurance rates down. Not, I shouldn't say negotiate, but work with them to make sure ours were properly allocated correctly, like over 4%. It was 26.7 when we first got it. So she, kudos to Trish on that. And after, so it benefits, I'm going to pass it on to Matt for.
Sure. Okay. Moving on to other categories of expenditures here, unless there's any questions on the benefit piece of this. Okay. The contractual expenditures, the largest here, of course, is our contract with LRS. As Rosie mentioned, what's budgeted is the contractual increase there. Other major expenditures here include our contribution to our joint dispatch center. That's been a topic before our contribution has grown due to costs with the dispatch center and the historic loss of some partners. So there is a large increase there shown in the budget here. A lot of that is attributable to a new computer aided dispatch CAD system and record management system that was approved by the dispatch center. That integration and implementation is going on this calendar year. This figure that's budgeted here is conservative. It doesn't account for onboarding new consolidation partners. We do have two municipalities that are interested in joining, and we are still negotiating the finer points of that. Hope to bring some information back to the village board this summer to have those partners on. That will decrease our share of the dispatch center overall costs. And then there's other aspects of that, including some grants that we hope to offset that cost, because that has gone up significantly over the past few years. IT support, our IT services are completely outsourced with a third party vendor, which is, they're in 3 days a week at least, and more if there's certain projects going on, in addition to 24 hour help desk. Our current vendor has been doing a great job, used across all of our departments. And that's about the same as it was in the past last year with this same vendor. And then liability insurance, we are members of IRMA is our insurance pool with other municipalities. That is our insurance premium this year, which is an increase. It's based on kind of the last 5 years of history in terms of claims. We have some larger claims in the past that we expect to fall off here soon. And we do have a reserve built up with our past contributions to IRMA that Rosie referenced earlier that we are using to offset some of that increase. And then all our kind of smaller consulting services are also fall under contractual.
So Matt, you may have said it and I might have missed, but the refuse collection, the LRS contract, I mean, that's user fee. I mean, that's not an increase on our budget. It's just an increase overall. And
correct. Paid for we by collect the money and send it out. So right. it cancels out in our budget, but that's just.
So it's not part of the 8.6%. I mean, it's part of it, but it doesn't move.
At least as an expenditure, it increases. Yeah. But you're right. The revenue
right.
cancels off, out. That's exactly.
It. Okay.
Correct. Yes. We take in exactly what we pay out to right. LRS. So. Right.
Seems odd.
And then this is a breakdown of that, what I just described. Notable increase here is some changes to some of the subscriptions and equipment for the police department, including cellular services and other subscriptions. A lot of our products and software that we have to operate on a day-to-day basis have transitioned to a subscription model. So that's been a change over the past few years. So a lot of the purchases that the village board will approve have lingering subscription costs that have been incorporated into this budget. Like the Star Chase system was approved by the village board a few months ago. And that there was an initial cost that was mostly grant funded. Then there was a subscription cost ongoing. And then a couple other pieces here, dedicated consulting projects would be building code update to bring our building code up to 2024 standards. It was only a few years ago where that was brought to the village board for amendment, but there's been a lot of changes with specifically electric vehicles and some other things that we think are relevant. So that will come back to the village board at some point this year. And then also a compensation and performance review study / software that we've been looking at to help track our performance measures a little bit better. One of our fire department has uses a system for the last few years that's been great for them, and we're looking to expand it to the rest of the village staff. Commodities. This was a modest increase. This includes a lot of equipment purchases and materials. Uniforms and utilities and the like there. Now the increase here of 418% sounds scary, but this is because we have a specific dedicated project shown here, and that is the Lake Street traffic improvements that have been discussed with the village board a few times before. This came from casual conversations. There are some concerns along Lake Street and beyond, and even prior to that, several intersections of concern. The village board had approved engineering consultant to design some improvements at those four intersections. And we have preliminary approval on the permit with IDOT, which we're very excited about. We haven't got final approval yet, but there's a couple minor design changes, but we are excited that IDOT is understanding of what we want to accomplish on the corridor. So we will be bringing forward that for official approval in the next few months. And as I should touch on that too, we have applied for grant funding for a few of the more minor pieces of that project. There's dedicated grant funding for safe walking routes to school that we are looking to win because the Franklin Avenue rapid flashing beacon is one of the aspects of that cost, which we think is a very competitive application for that grant. Then I think.
He can't read my scribble. as you see on the screen, it's the 3-year projections. Clarify from what you have in your packet in the on the 3-year projections, there was a grant revenue that was projected in fiscal year 2029, and it was left in the projection by oversight, and it actually was moved into the SIF fund. So this is the correct projected balance for 2029 with the fund balance, which still leaves us with over a 30% fund balance reserve. So even though we're going to correct the projection for the final budget, so you'll be able to approve the correct budget numbers for the projection. As we always say, we estimate, we're very conservative when we budget, even with our projections. So it's hopefully, as we always do, we budget conservatively, and then but when we come back, we end up with a surplus.
So Rosie, are you projecting a drop then in 28, but then the increase in 29?
No, I'm projecting deficits in both out years.
Both out.
We're projecting the 2027 budget is balanced with non-reoccurring. Now, 2028 and 2029, with what we have planned with increases with the CPI and whatever, this is what it's showing based on salary increases. Okay. Like I said, we budget 100% salaries and benefits, and in this world, we very rarely have 100% full capacity.
Okay.
But this is what I'm projecting. Even with that, over 3 years, right now we're at our at the end of 2027 budget, we'll have 39.95% fund balance reserves, and okay.
Way over.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
So way over than the statutory requirement.
Okay.
Before we move on, can I ask you how inflation is accounted for in our projections?
We go based on, so it was 2.7 over the last, so we did 3% for fiscal year 2027, and the out years we used 2%. So, and each year we change that. When we look at our SURF, we basically, for our larger, vehicle purchases and equipment, we discuss where we think it's going and what's the rates of inflation. So they do get adjusted each year based on where we think we're going. So it's a work in progress always. Any other questions on that? Okay, now you're back on budget.
Okay. The budget is not just the breakdown of all of our revenues and expenditures. There's a lot of narrative pieces and information that is included in there about what our departments do under the village's guiding principles, in addition to a lot of information about our performance measures and activity over the year. You can go see how many building permits are distributed. You can see how many tons of leaves were removed by the Public Works Department and what response times. There's a lot of information in there, and also outline of individual department goals with under the village priorities. So we've got a list of them for each department. I won't go over all of them. A lot of them the village board knows about. A lot of them are ongoing programs and services that the village provides, but we, as part of receiving the kind of Distinguished Budget Presentation Award, we need to highlight these. Also, it's good to remind ourselves and the board and the residents what these numbers translate to into new events, new programs, new services that residents see on a day-to-day basis. A couple of the fiscal year 27 goals I've touched on. Economic development is certainly a hot topic, and that's one of that's administration's top goal this year, negotiating a new contract with the fire department later that fiscal year, implementation of the new building codes. And then a little bit of a recap on the current fiscal year. We had a few new community events. We initiated a program for small businesses with our TIF district, and just the general work that we do every day to support what the village board and the advisory committees do. Police, once again, was successful in receiving a grant from the Illinois Attorney General to help with combating retail crime. They've been successful the last few years to acquire that, to get some new equipment specifically designated on protecting our retail stores specifically at the town center. And then a lot of these are just continued work to upgrade our technology and work with our partners like Thrive and other entities to make sure that public safety is our top priority. Then fire department, they've made a focus the last few years on expanding public safety and CPR training. So that's highlighted as accomplishments this past year and training, of course. A couple of things to look for this upcoming year. We'll be looking to promote and expand some emergency communications system that Deputy Chief Bohenig's been working hard to learn more about with our new record management system under the fire department that has a lot of capabilities and a lot of ability for residents to let the fire department know if they have specific circumstances or challenges with their family or homes that the fire department needs to be aware of to help with our response. Then public works, mostly our infrastructure projects that we do on a given basis. These are our largest expenditures in the budget, mostly in our water and sewer and motor fuel tax funds. As Rosie mentioned earlier, we've installed new electric vehicle charging stations at the Metro West lot and over here at 418 Franklin that have already been used quite a bit. So we're very excited about that. This month we began repairs to the underground reservoir. That'll be completed in May. And we continue to promote our lead service replacement and reimbursement program as we encourage folks to fill out the survey or people move into town or are making improvements to their homes. Jack and the Public Works Department will make sure to encourage people to take advantage of the program that we have out there. And we have, as mentioned in the CIP presentation, we have expanded that amount to help if more residents seek using that program. And then this year, we'll be continuing design on the Washington Boulevard improvements. We have a grant application in to help offset costs for that from Cook County. Lake Street improvements that I touched on earlier will be a big focus that we hope will be constructed this summer. And then installing a new water main on the 0 and 100 blocks of Franklin Avenue. That project is currently out to bid. We will be bringing that forward either at the second meeting in April or the first meeting of May. That's a large project that will help identify or help resolve one of the issues that was identified in our water system study in 2018, one of our smaller water mains in town. So that should improve service and reliability of that line. And there was a community meeting for the residents on those two blocks last week that Public Works held to kind of explain what to expect for that project. And then also the yearly programs and sidewalk and street improvements actually began today. We've started budgeting a little bit of money to kind of straddle the year so that we can have our projects out to bid earlier than other municipalities. We've seen that we get more competitive pricing and we're done with construction faster than a lot of our neighboring communities because of that. And I think we have our budget now reflects that kind of timing because it's a given year is in two fiscal years.
Yeah. So that was completing the general fund, looking at that. Now we'll look at the water sewer fund. This chart displays the water and sewer fund activity in both fiscal year 2026 and 2027. The operating revenues are expected to exceed operating expenses in 2026. But total expenses are higher because they include those capital items that Matt was discussing that are going on this year and that will move into next year. Cash and investments are expected to decrease in 2027 because of those capital improvements. And the budget assumes, the revenue side assumes average consumption for water usage. So if you take a look at this slide, this is Matt mentioned some of these projects, but these are the projects that were presented to you in the CIP. The biggest one is that water main replacement that he spoke of, which is over $1 million, which
that's grant funded. Yeah.
That is partially grant funded. We look for grants for every project that we try to complete, so that we don't hurt the water fund and try to keep its fund balance healthy. So the proposed water rates, the village, the water and sewer rates for in the fiscal year budget, 2027 budget, include a 0.56% increase to rates. The water rate includes a 7% increase to offset the June 1st, 2026, 1.85% increase in the cost of water by the city of Chicago. The city has the right or in our agreement to increase rates on June 1st of each year, either by 5% or the increase in the CPI, which is lower. And this year, the notification was 1.85% increase. These rate increases are only passed through costs and are not for future capital needs. Future rate increases may need to be reviewed based on major initiatives such as the maintenance of village capital infrastructure. So we look at grant opportunities and low interest loans to avoid putting any future burden on residents. As you can see, these are the future rate increases. You can see we still have not increased any increases in the future projections for village capital projects. It's only based on the city of Chicago increases. These are reviewed annually to determine if the targeted fund balances meet the recommended 25% policy. These projections include any increases to cover we estimate about 2.4% increase in the cost of water for Chicago. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, just depending on based on the CPI. This will change in 2030, the way Chicago is going to be billing or charging is based on.
Chicago is reviewing how they are preparing for their future. So they're looking at different standards. Right. Staff had attended a meeting last fall where they presented kind of their preliminary look at what that would look like. River Forest is in a good position, literally, since we are close to the city, we neighbor the city, our distance and some other factors work in our favor. So with this model that they're considering, it should not have much of an impact on our system. They're more preparing for some of the larger systems that are coming online further out in the suburbs. But we'll be monitoring that closely because that will have a big impact on our residents.
But our projections still include just based the rates that we have been following with Chicago. So here is the water fund 3-year projection. As you can see, cash and investments expected to go down each year in fiscal year 2028 and 2029. So we will have to look at our projects, what grant revenues we can receive, and hopefully continue to find those grants so that the needed projects get funded, or we have to look at rate increases. which we try to avoid at all costs. Any questions on this?
It's quite a change between 28 and 29 and the ending cash and investments.
Yeah. It's there.
So what's shown there has some projects that currently don't have grant funding to accomplish, but we wanted to include them so that we have them in there. That's why that cash does decrease so dramatically. So the out years, as Rosie mentioned, we are conservative about those projections. So those are some of the projects that we'll be continuing to seek grant funding for. When we get to those points, we'll continue to defer those projects as necessary.
Oh, that was you. There we go. So now moving on to the pension funds, I've spoke briefly about that already. But as you take a look, there's actuarial analysis prepared each year, and future contributions may be adjusted on the actual results. So each year we estimate, and this year we're estimating 1.29% increase for police and a 1.10% increase in the fire. As we see, like Rosa had a question for us as she was reviewing the budget, how the fair market value has gone up in our interest calculation. It's extremely high this year. It's like almost $8.2 million between the two funds. They've had a very, very good year on increasing their investment. So that will affect our actuarial report, whether it, we hope that brings it down. We'll find that out after we provide them with all of our final numbers for 2026, which that will help. But each year we hope to see nice investment returns to bring our contributions down to what is feasible for the village to sustain. As I said before, also they've both been consolidated, and so their investments are now held through the state. So we really don't have any authority to help with investments, but it's, I think, doing a good job as of right now. MFT, basically, this is a fund that where we get a state allotment, and we get revenues from the renewal fund. There's two ways to get funds from the state. These provide funding so for our road work, snow and ice control, crack sealing, and street patching. And we review this each year, what streets need to be done and what how much for street patching and crack sealing. And this all has to be approved by the state before we can even prepare these plans. SURF, as we've discussed, as you saw in the CIP presentation, the capital equipment fund accounts for future replacements of capital items. The SURF is funded by transfer from the general fund and the water and sewer fund. And annual transfers from the general fund are included in the budget. Interest income does help reduce the transfers that we do from the general fund. Last year's contribution, we had reduced it based on our fund balance and where we were, what we were purchasing. And the contribution in 2027 was calculated based on the future equipment and vehicle replacements planned in the five-year capital plan. Right now, the SURF fund is funded 85%, which is a beautiful, I mean, obviously, we will never have to replace everything today, but if we had to, we could replace practically everything. Here is the list. This was recommended back in January to you. Nothing has changed on this list.
But as you see, we have three vehicles. We have some building improvements, some equipment that each department has requested that have been part of the SURF. So we've planned for them as a replacement. That's why we have some purchases coming out of general fund. Those have not hit the SURF fund. Now, as we purchase them, they will be added to the SURF. So for their replacement, we'll have planned for that. Any questions on these? So the SIF was created in 2014, and this fund is funded based primarily on automated traffic control enforcement revenue, grants, ambulance fees, and a portion of the parking lot fees that are collected from commuter parking to be included in the parking fund reserve to maintain those commuter parking lots. It's a specific reserve maintaining those commuter parking lots so that they're always in good shape as we, you know, for commuter parking. It also accounts for various capital improvements, including computer systems, alleys, computer parking lots, streetscape, the village hall, and public works garage improvements. We also fund the 2022 debt service payment out of this fund, which was funded for the Green Alley project back in, I think, 2022.
Okay. This is a list of the projects in that fund. These have all been presented to the village board before. There are a few changes since then that I want to make sure to highlight here. One is an electric vehicle charging station installation. And we had hoped to complete that in this fiscal year 2026, but we've carried that over to fiscal year 2027. And we'll be looking at that project again here shortly. There might be some changes to that process. We already have two of the EV stations installed, but the one on North Avenue is the one that has been deferred here to 2027. There was an item here that was presented that included it was for traffic signal maintenance and streetlight maintenance that there was a kind of aggressive program considered as part of the SIF, but with some of the changes to the revenue, we decided to defer that project for now, and we'll just treat that on as needed basis, but we'll be reconsidering adding that back to the budget in the future. Then some minor changes to the projects that are revolving around Village Hall based on the fact that we've gotten bids back with more accurate pricing. The pricing for one of the air conditioning units went up $30,000, but the building envelope project that will be starting in a few weeks went down $40,000. So a net gain of $10,000 there on those two projects in the SIF. And then another minor change was an increase in the budget for the design work for Washington Boulevard to be completed this year.
Hey, Matt.
Yes, sir.
A question for you. Can you go back? On the EV charging stations, you said North Avenue. Were we doing anything in Town Square?
Not as of this time. There's no projects at the Town Center plan.
Town Center, I'm sorry. Okay, thanks.
The priority for these first leg would to be village owned or village access lots, but there has been discussion in the past about potentially the village working with partners like the Town Center or Jewel or the universities to help with them. But this was the kind of first phase of putting them out there.
Thank you.
No problem.
So as we look at the future years of the general fund, as I spoke earlier, the budget includes $799,945 in one-time expenditures in the general fund. including capital improvements, equipment, IRMA insurance contributions, and consulting items, all of these being financed with available reserves. And as you can see, we still have a healthy reserve balance as projected in 2029. Expenditures, we will continue to try to work with our third party IPBC to make sure our health insurance rates are in line with what we should be paying. We budget conservatively, like I said, and we strategically draw down on fund balance for non-recurring expenditures. And as things come up, like if there's a great product out there that we think we should get today, we would bring it to you and say we can use reserves, as we know because we have a healthy reserve balance. We maintain nominal salary growth to remain competitive as an employer, and keep evaluating pension contributions. As that keeps growing, we are constantly monitoring that. And we are a service organization with 89% of our general fund is allocated to salary and benefits and contractual services. So it's basically we are providing services which costs a lot of money as it increases with inflation, with trying to keep a competitive, retain employees, and work hard to make it a great place to live, work, and enjoy life. Tax levy can include up to a 5% increase or the increase in the consumer price index. Like I said, this coming year's tax levy, when it will be presented, it will be a max of 2.7%. But as we discuss and we look at our situation, we will bring you a suggestion of what we believe we should levy, or what you think we should levy, more so that than what we think. But and we will look at current fees, charges, see if there's any revenue enhancements we can find going forward. We are always looking for grant revenue and trying to streamline operations as best we can to save expenditures. So next steps, we obviously are still in a very strong position. Like I said, where it will be at 39 point something percent at the end of 2027. Departments are very good about focusing on critical items and limiting non-essential spending. Shared and state reported revenues. We estimate, because we're 3 months lag, so we're like today, we're our revenues that we receive in April are really for January. So it's a 3 month lag. So we will really know what our total revenues for 2026 are not until August. So it's we try to predict based on what IML can give us and other predictions.
Rosie, can I ask you, how long have we been on a 3 month delay?
Pardon me?
How long have we been on this 3 month delay?
Approximately 20, 30 years. It's really? So the state collects it, or you have to, you know, you have to put the money, like, so if you're a business, you have to file your sales tax into the state. That's due in February. If it's for January, it's due February, and then the state collects it, and then they have to do so it's always 3 months in arrear for many revenues. Not all revenues are 3 months, but those larger revenues, sales tax, non-home rule, income tax, we actually get the month after they receive it. So that's a little, okay. So we don't accrue for income tax, but we do accrue for these other larger revenues. And like I said, also we aggressively pursue grant funding. I'm telling you, we today and yesterday we've received like one from IDOT, one from Illinois Commerce. Like in the last 2 days, I'm like, this is. Yeah, these guys are awesome.
Do we have any idea, like, what is the kind of average annual revenue we get from grants? I'm sure it varies. I'm just curious as if
it depends on, because it's all based on the project too. So if we're not doing any big projects, then mm-hmm. like for this EV station, I know we've received over, we'll have received. Like 300,000 or 350,000 in the last. So that's a big chunk of the expense. And, you know, I know a lot of projects we say we probably won't move forward with the project if we don't get the grant revenue, because it's just too costly to do this project without it. But it's amazing, you know, there's more opportunities coming every day. So we work on trying to apply for those as we see them.
Thank you.
Right. Any other acknowledgments? This conducts our presentation. The assembly of the budget and the administration of this document is a team effort, and it involves all the hard work of many members of our team. All of them, every one of them,
right?
And many thanks to each of them for their good work, and to you, the Village Board, and President Doozy for guiding us to make sure we are stewards of the village.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Rosie. Thank you, Matt. Any questions for
this guy who had a baby?
Yeah.
In the middle of it.
Any questions for these guys?
Any questions?
Okay, I've got a few. First of all, thank you so much for putting this together. I do know how difficult it is and how arduous it can be, you know, looking at the detail and rolling it all up into a more summary. So you did a very good job, an excellent job. So thank you to the staff and Matt and Rosie. Thank you. Just a few observations that I'd like to give. I mean, like you already said it, we have very few levers where revenue comes in and expenses can go reduce. I mean, it's hard when you're limited in terms of where your money goes out, 90% salaries, contractual services. So where we do have levers, I'd really like us to continue to do the good job that you're doing, and like grant money, that's a great revenue lever. Another great revenue lever I think is property taxes. And I know, again, those are kind of set, but, you know, I think anywhere we can find where people aren't paying their property taxes or where there might be an issue, we need to kind of get on that immediately. I mean, and we talked a little bit about the rayroll. I just realized they're the only area. I mean, if you look at residential, commercial, and others, they all increased over the 10 years. 10%. It was only the railroad that actually decreased 10% over 10 years. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know if anybody, but anyway, it was an observation, something that maybe a lever we could pull. You know, another revenue, and you mentioned it, Matt, in your is sales tax. I really like the idea of really focusing on retail development. Any place that we can increase sales tax is a great, great idea. Another revenue idea. I don't know. I'm going to look to the chief. Does lift fees help us with that new legislation? Right. Well, we got an assisted living facility. Yeah. So, you know, that's a interesting. And then on the expense side, some of the things that I saw, I thought, you know, and you mentioned it, Matt, which I appreciate, the E911. Again, if we can get efficient in the E911, obviously we're going to have to spend money to make it, because that's really important calls. We want to make sure we meet our, you know, the emergencies. But if there's a way to, you know, get more efficient by adding other communities, I think it's a great idea. And I really hope we can pursue that further. You know,
probably another area of expenses, and you talked a little bit about the permit fees. I think that's a great area. Health insurance, I thought I didn't think about that lever, but I know it's negotiable. So thank you for, you know, pursuing those. And then the last, I know we talked a little bit about the lead services. I really like the program 50-50, or not 50, but a program that we have with our residents. Anywhere we can save money and throw more money toward our residents, we ought to be doing that where they want it, you know, like Lake Street and Washington Boulevard. I mean, if anything comes up day in and day out in our conversations with our residents, it's traffic and safety. So I really like you to all to kind of focus, if we're going to have expenses in that area, kind of how do we make our lives better with traffic and safety in River Forest? So those are just some of my observations, but overall, fabulous, great. I mean, it's always good to have a 39% reserve. We're very lucky in River Forest. So, but that's all due to all your good work. So that's all I have. We'll close it, and then we'll go on to the public hearing. Right, Matt?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So, Matt, what do we do? Okay. Okay. Well, I'll open up the public hearing and give it to Matt.
Great. Okay. The fiscal year 2027 draft budget was just presented to the Village Board for review. Pursuant to state law, the Village is required to hold a public hearing on its annual budget prior to its adoption. The notice of the public hearing was published in the Wednesday Journal as required. Notice must be published at least 1 week prior to the public hearing. The budget has been available to the public for inspection at the Village Hall and on the Village website. I invite the public to make any comments regarding the budget at this time. The board will consider final approval of the budget at its April 27th meeting.
We ask if there's any residents in the audience that have questions. Okay, hearing none, we'll close the public hearing.
I think we'll just have a motion and a second to close it.
Can I get a motion and a second to close the public hearing on our operating budget?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Thank you. Yep, we'll do.
Oh. Trustee Cascatella?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Can you hear us? Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes. Okay, thanks. We'll go ahead and have now the elected official comments and announcements. So maybe Lisa, we'll start with you. Do you mind?
I can go.
I'm going to go back. I'll do my first one, the second one first. On April 18th, this weekend, there's the Earth Day Thatcher Woods cleanup from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We can sign up at the River Forest Park District website, and it starts at the Trailside Museum. And you'd be surprised how much trash is in that, you know, in those woods. So the only way we're going to get it out is if we go in there and get it. Second, I just want to give Lindsay Silver, one of our residents, a huge shout out. To her and all of her volunteers who worked at the 6th annual River Forest Community Bike Exchange. It took place yesterday. And it's a really amazing event that showcases how one person can make a big difference. One person, and her husband, who helps out a lot, okay, and their friends, but it all came from Lindsay. The stats from this year's event, 240 bikes were donated, $2,250 in money was raised for charity. 77 bikes were donated to Working Bikes, and more than 50 bikes were registered. I want to thank the Village for volunteer snacks. They're very important. I want to thank the Village Police for coming to the event to register bikes. Megan and Sean did a great job. I want to thank District 90 for allowing Lindsay and her team to use Roosevelt School property. There was a building engineer who had to be there and take in all of the tables that they borrowed and everything, and that was a huge help. I want to thank Robert Lifka for getting us for confirming press coverage for the event. And something we can talk about in the future, and I don't know if we do this. And I know there's a lot of, we basically, you know, kind of have awards and recognitions for a lot of people. And I know there's the Wednesday Journal, you know, kind of awards and things like that. But I might want to explore some sort of citizen award that we would give to, you know, kind of people, you know, sing, you know, one person that makes a difference. And yeah. Maybe that's what it's called or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So
our very own.
Yep. Thank you.
We can model it after WGA. Yeah, I assume you're talking about Lindsay.
I would put her up for it, but I'm sure there are others. I don't, you know,
I will second that motion. Okay. Good job. Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Okay. Three things. The first thing is, again, thank you for the village staff and the presentation for the budget. And I know it's a lot of work and it's a comprehensive work from all of you. So thank you very much. I know I'm happy to say I'll take indirect credit. The village as a trustee too, for the awards for the budget that always seems to come in. And so I want that acknowledged as well. The other thing too, shout out again, River Forest is one of the 2026 finalists. I'm assuming it had something to do with the village staff again.
Yeah. Where's Luke?
So, yes. Oh, my God. No wonder. I was like, where's the kudos for all this?
Yeah.
So thank you. No, so there's 26 and will the finalists be picked at that event? Because seminar?
Correct. Yes. It will be picked at that event in June. We'll learn more about the event and the selection process here this week.
Okay, great. Well, I'm crossing my fingers. And again, thank you all for doing that. And hopefully we win. Last thing is just a pronounced or public announcement, I guess, or warning or helping. You may have been hearing that you're getting, I know there's always a new tech scam, but I even received this one. It's a text about the allegedly coming from the court systems and the city clerk. I mean, I was impressed in this respect that it actually looks really official coming from the clerk of the court, just like a subpoena, just like a public hearing notice, et cetera. And so it comes out to you individuals. And I've been hearing from friends of mine at the court system that they're actually getting a lot of people that are going to the traffic court trying to find out how they can pay their bill. The interesting thing is that at least for those who go to try to pay their bill, they find out it's a scam. I'm wondering how many, because it does offer send your money, send a Q code, whatever, and pay the $100 fee or whatever so you don't have to go to court. I'm wondering how many people are actually paying to avoid going to court. It's amazing about that. So I guess the more that we let people know that this is really a scam and not to fall for it, the courts, believe me, courts are not that fast to give you that notice to come in a day or two to come to court. And so the first notice that I received came from an Honorable John Smith, and the clerk was John Smith. So it was, you never have the clerk and the judge be the same person. The second time I received it, it was with at least a different judge and a different clerk. So I think they're perfecting it as they go along. But you please be careful about it. Tell people not to pay attention or whatever.
Good idea for the newsletter, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, too. We can do that. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rez.
Rosa? I just echo the congratulations to everybody on the budget and all the work.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
I would like to start with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we acknowledge and are mindful that we are holding these meetings on the traditional homelands of and that were once inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place where many people of diverse backgrounds live and gather. And I just wanted to highlight that this month, the village has a box upstairs in Village Hall with its relationship with EcoShip, and they're collecting packaging materials and tennis shoes. And the tennis shoes don't have to be in great shape. If they are in great shape, they'll be given to people who can use them as tennis shoes. If they need to be repaired and it's a reasonable repair, they'll be repaired. And if they are beyond repair, they'll be chopped up for other use. So that's this month for Earth Day.
Do you know how long they're going to keep it?
A month.
A month. Okay.
Good. I stopped up there this morning. I mean, just now, just before the meeting.
Oh, okay.
And dropped off some things.
Thank you.
Put that in the newsletter.
It is in the newsletter.
I missed it. I missed.
Okay. The shoes aren't highlighted in the newsletter, but if you look at the code, it is another thing that EcoShip is doing with the village.
Maybe that's how I missed it. Put shoes on. Thank you. Thanks, Katie.
I want to echo everyone else. Thank you for the wonderful budget presentation. It was easy to read. I know that's documents can be very dry, but your staff does a great job. And I agree with Lisa completely, wholeheartedly. I'd love to see a citizen impact award for situations like the bike exchange, where both of my children have donated and received bikes throughout their lifetimes. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And thank you to the police department. I'm not sure so many people would register their bikes if there weren't there wasn't a police presence showing exactly how to do it at the bike exchange. It's a perfect opportunity for people to register, even if they weren't weren't exchanging a bike that day. And I would like to also say congratulations to the D90 Young Authors. I attended their award ceremony this week, and it was amazing to see all of the different authors from kindergarten all the way through eighth grade, and the wonderful things that they had created.
Okay. Thanks, Megan. Bob?
The only thing I have is congratulations to Rosie and the team on the budget. So thank you very much for all your hard work.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Yep, the only thing I have, Megan, you and I met with the collaboration. Not that collaboration, the early childhood collaboration. Yeah, you were nodding. No, the other collaboration, the early child collaboration that Oak Park River Forest has. And we had a great discussion about the participation of River Forest D90 in the village. So more to come on that. Hopefully, Megan and I will hopefully present something that might be reasonable to the board and the River Forest Community Center, and trying to get them some money or funds, not through us, but through other means. So that was a good meeting, and stay tuned. That's all I have to report. So we'll go ahead on to the consent agenda. If I can get a motion in a second for the consent agenda.
Can we pull item G6G, please?
So consent item A through F and H.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through F and H.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
All right. Any questions on that? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Item 6A, proclamation in recognition of Earth Day 2026. B, accounts payable March 2026, $1,933,981.17. C, financial report March 2026. D, approval of resolution for construction on state highways. E, accessible parking space request, 8041 Lake Street, Apartment 2. F, award of contract 2026 permeable paver maintenance old world brick paving $60,000. H, village board of trustees meeting minutes March 23rd, 2026.
Okay.
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wait, I can get a motion, a second on G, administration department reports.
Move to approve consent agenda item 6G, administration department report.
Second.
Thank you.
Yep. So I just asked to have this pulled because I noticed on the administration report on there was a payment to Prescott Group for government relations services. And I was hoping to get some more information about what that entailed. When we were discussing the budget just earlier this evening, there were some items like the LGDF changes and the lead supply, the Illinois state law regarding the lead pipe supply. I don't know if that's what this company is doing, but I was hoping you could give some more information.
Sure, absolutely. So yes, it is related to seeking grant funding and acquiring grant funding. We've had some issue. Well, we're successful in getting grants awarded to the village, but there's a lot of steps in with the state to get the funds actually released to the village. And we ran into some roadblocks with grants that were several years old, including one that was almost $1.4 million that staff went down to talk to legislators to help to get some help for that. So that's where we engaged with Prescott Group to help get that funding released for the village. And that's what's helping cover what will be some of the water infrastructure projects there.
Are they writing grants also, or just helping us get the grants that we already obtained paid and seeking new grants?
Mostly helping, not so much on the writing side, more on the obtaining side and making us aware of when they're available.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote after.
Trustee Brennan?
Well, you want to say what it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Item 6G, Administration Department Report. Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Cuscatello?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So we have no consent items for separate consideration, but we do have new business. No motion, no action, just discussion on the right of way encroachment agreement process update. So yes. Just let you do that.
Okay. So there's no motion here for the village board's consideration because we'd like to get some feedback before bringing forward ordinance if their direction is there from the village board. Right-of-way encroachment is one of the things that we've identified as opportunities to kind of expedite some of the processes that we have. Another thing that we'll be hoping to bring to the village board here in the next few months is some revisions to our historic preservation ordinance to help make it easier for applicants as well. Right-of-way encroachment, you've seen this on many agendas over the years. This is when residents primarily are installing irrigation systems, sprinklers in the front of their homes on the village right-of-way. We require that they sign a waiver so that in the event that the village needs to make any repairs, that the responsibility is on the homeowner to cover the cost of repairs if needed. Primarily, it's for irrigation systems. There's also the occasional fence or certain driveway construction that requires it as well. The reason that we're bringing to the village board is that our village code is silent on the process for approval for this. The practice over the past decade has been to bring these requests forward to the village board for approval. In our records, 72 agreements have been presented to the village board and not one of them has been denied. If there were to be a reason for denial, we already would have filtered out those concerns at the staff level before even bringing it to the village board. So that's why there hasn't been, at least part of the reason why they haven't been denied. So what we're seeking, because the village board, the practice has been for the village board to handle these, we want to kind of get the village board's buy-in for the village staff to kind of take control of this approval process so that we don't have to wait a few weeks for a village board meeting to approve the permit and waiver, especially if it's just kind of a routine approval and there's not pushback from the village board. So that is why we brought this forward to village board for discussion. If the village board does not have any objections to that, we will work to amend our village code to specify that the village staff, particularly Director of Public Works, would have the ability to approve permits. We have a similar provision in the village code for utility permits that does explicitly state that Director of Public Works can approve those permits, and those don't come forward to the village board. But for whatever reason, our code is silent on this piece.
Okay. So, hey Matt.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with sprinkler systems because I think that's pretty perfunctory. My question comes to when people put fencing up and landscaping in the right of ways. You know, is that if somebody were to apply and they, you know, present it to Jack, and at that point it's Jack's discretion whether to kick it back to us because he thinks it's too much or too little, or what? Is that how that works?
Thanks, Trustee. Jack's making his way to the podium here.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Thank you for the question. Generally, when something comes in and somebody wants to do something in the public right away, you know, like you mentioned, landscaping or something like that, we make it explicitly clear before they even attempt to go down that path or start looking at quotes or anything like that, that if we have to do something there, we will completely tear it up, take everything out, and do what we can to sort of make it look like it did before, but any financial responsibility would be on the homeowner. So similar in this situation, you know, landscaping or anything that they were to do in the right of way would fall solely on the homeowner. So generally, once they hear that, it doesn't go that far. And okay, we have had things that, you know, come across, you know, where they want to do something big. When we make that comment, they pretty much back off.
Okay. Thanks, Jack.
Wait, don't move. let me ask a question. And let's assume a couple things. Not that we ever get objections here at the village, but let's assume that you were to either grant it or deny it, but the neighbor like will be upset with the fence, or the person applying will be doesn't appreciate the denial or conditions or whatever. What happens at that point? Will they come to the board, or will they, how would, yeah, I think there needs to be some mechanism to allow for that.
That was my,
and the simple stuff, probably it's never going to come to us.
My question was the same kind of appeals process might be put in place.
So similarly, that is something that we looked at. We do have a similar provision for some other things in the village code where if staff or me denies something, it would then go to the village board. So once they once staff denies it, they would then have the opportunity to appeal to the village board, and then that would become the process. But again, I mean, that's why we sort of wanted to outline, I guess, what we've seen so far is we've had this come up 72 times and it hasn't been denied once yet. So that's sort of why we're just trying to look at it administratively, just trying to make the process easier because of the time frame that it goes through.
But I think we can... I think an appeal process makes sense in the event that there is a dispute from the applicant. So we can incorporate that into if there's
I guess just for the record, like you really can't put anything on a parkway, correct?
You should.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's in the record that other than like in theory, other than just putting in a sprinkler system, which does make the grass green, which is great, they're not supposed to put anything in the parkway.
Even the sprinkler system, they got to ask first.
Right, and they got to ask first. Right. Got it.
And just to clarify the clarification, when you say anything, you can plant on the parkway.
You can. However, we caution people, you put plants in the parkway. If we have to come in and do something, we will do our best to fix it, put it back, do what we can. But, you know, if somebody puts in a really fancy plant that's like super expensive and, you know, we do our best to try to save it. But, yeah. That's something we caution.
Right. Okay, fancy plants.
Fancy plants.
Okay.
No fancy plants. All right, very good.
All right, yeah, good. That's good question.
Ooh.
Always looking for appeal process. All right, thanks. Any other any questions? Okay,
no.
Then sounds like you've got what you needed. All right, so that's all we have. So if we can, no executive session. So I will ask for a adjournment.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn. All right. Second. Anybody second?
No one wants to leave.
Second.
Oh, okay.
It's like he's gonna hit that buzzer. All right.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Is it mine?
Trustee Cascatello?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay, very good.